Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the State of Energy, along with Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name is Rand DeWitt. Hello, Mr. Tom.
Hello, sir. Are you happy to be back in California?
No. I want to go back to Nevada because I pretty much left all of my savings there.
Did you?
And I want to find it.
I got stopped at the airport. I got stopped at the TSA checkpoint.
Why? Because you had so much cash?
Well, that's what I told everybody. But they picked up my microphone that was in my bag, and they thought it was something else. So as soon as I got through security, I told everybody it's because I had too much cash in my bag.
You know what? You are a baller. you're a big baller. Propane
big
caller.
Baller. You know, I just got back from Walgreens.
How'd that go?
I had to get an ankle brace because I sprained my ankle yesterday.
Man, carrying all that money you won in Reno is too much for your ankles? What'd you do?
I got a new electric toy.
This could go in many different ways, Tom. Let's get to the bottom of it. What are you talking about?
I got this new electric skateboard. Have you ever seen these electric skateboards? It's called the One Wheel.
Yes. And you can almost go off-roading with them.
Yeah, you can go off-roading with it. It's pretty cool. It's like I've been waiting for it forever. I'm going to text you this. So there's my new One Wheel I got. And I was out riding around, and I hit the curb. And there's a nice picture of my ankle there.
Jeez.
I twisted my ankle up pretty good. It's spruced up. And the whole thing about this electric skate, I didn't buy this thing because I thought this thing was going to be like cleaner than a weed eater or something.
It looks fun.
It looked fun. I thought it was cool.
It's a giant wheel. It's kind of like a big dirt off-road wheel.
Yeah.
With the attachments on the side.
It's kind of like your Apple iPhone designed in California and made in China. But it was pretty fun. But I started thinking, after I'm sitting there staring at it with my busted up ankle and I've got it plugged into the side of the wall, and it's got a pretty good sized like charger with it, you know, like,
oh my God, I just got your text.
You see my ankle?
Is that a Sasquatch foot over there? What happened?
That's I ran into a curb. Dang. It's not as easy as it looks to ride this thing.
No, but it looks quite fun.
My point is, I was sitting there at my house, and I've got this thing plugged into the wall, and I started thinking, well, I wonder how much electricity this thing really consumes. It's got a 3-horsepower motor on it.
Wow.
It's a big motor in it. So I started thinking there should be some type of emissions ratings on these electric scooters and electric bikes. Electric cars.
There's not enough space on the side of a bus to show.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Why do we put everything as zero emissions when we know that it's just not true? And what do we need to do to get like some consumer campaign thing going that says we want to know how much energy and emissions this thing is truly going to consume over the time that I use it? Because this little One Wheel that I got, it's app based and it'll tell you how far you went. It's got to be able to tell you how much electricity you consumed, and it knows where I live. It should be able to tell me where I picked up that electricity and what my true emissions were from this zero emissions device.
Yeah, we should. It should be something like a true emission score.
Yeah.
We had someone on from who was that from San Diego we had on?
I think it was Cinch from Oberon.
Yes. But, it was Cinch from Oberon.
Yeah. So yes. It goes back to this, I keep thinking about this Zion's National Park thing. I can't get this off my mind because it's such a large amount of money. And we're going backwards in the emissions cycle with this Zion's electric shuttle bus service.
Yeah, we're going backwards in emissions and making things more expensive. Isn't that like the opposite of what we're trying to do
this
right
national
now? Shouldn't
park
we be going the
electric
opposite of that?
Bus study from 2020. It's a 75-page report from the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, and you can find this report at www.nrel.gov/publications. And I started diving through it because there was some things that didn't make sense to me. And I finally found a report on page 43 that they do a Zion's bus tailpipe emissions for the current propane powered buses down there. Mm-hmm. And then they do this summary of where the electricity comes from. You'll never believe how much more emissions the electric buses at Zion's National Park are going to produce than the propane. Take a wild guess.
I would.
It's 40% dirtier than the current bus.
40% dirtier.
40%.
And okay, how does this get through? I mean, everyone, because they're saying, hey, we're clean emissions. We're not emitting. But they don't know what it takes to get that energy into the bus.
They keep giving you this feel-good word that says zero emissions. And it's just not true. And we need some type of real label that tells you what kind of emissions it is. So this is super disturbing that we're going to spend $33 million of your money and my money and everybody that's listening to this show's money to buy these electric buses and then replace the clean propane. They're going to take the clean propane buses out of service. Now, the propane buses are 22 years old. Could you imagine if we were able to just buy the latest and greatest propane-powered bus with this $33 million and then use renewable propane or renewable blended, this DME blended propane from Oberon? I sent you a story about Oberon's renewable and DME blend propane.
It'll reduce... Green Car Congress.
Yeah, it reduces the current propane emissions by 60%. So now if we did the same study again with Zion's and said, we're going to replace your electric bus with a propane bus with renewable DME involved, it would be like 80 or 90% cleaner than the electric bus. And we would need half of the money that they got to do this.
And I mean, that's what we actually talked about this last week when we were in Reno, about just comparing the cost for 10 propane autogas vehicles with 10 electric vehicles.
Yeah.
And it's astronomical. We're spending so much. I mean, 3 or 4 to 1 is what we're spending.
And that's what this whole conversation last week got me to dive through this 75-page study and get to the nuts and bolts. And it just blows me away that this got passed, because you know there was people reading this and they're just like, don't look at page 43. Just keep going.
That's why we like to say follow the money, because it doesn't make any sense. If we are so got our hair on fire, we've got to protect the planet. Now we're all going to die if we don't in 8 years, but we're not doing the proper things that are right in front of us to be able to achieve these goals, which means utilizing clean propane and stop lying to people about how environmentally friendly electric vehicles are. I mean, they are friendly, but they're nowhere near as friendly as what propane provides.
And it's affordable. I sent you that LinkedIn post from Alliance Autogas. These guys provide autogas, propane autogas for around the country. And this is pretty recent. This is what, a 4-day-old post.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you really want to talk about economic justice, I mean, like West Coast, $2.03 a gallon.
To fill your vehicle up with propane.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I mean, the highest price is $2.11, and that's in the Midwest. $2.11.
And you know what diesel is right here in Utah today?
It's got to be over $5.
$5.55. You know the best place I found to just like find out what the prices of gasoline and diesel are around your house?
What is it?
This Gas Buddy. Gas Buddy app for your phone. You've never used this, have you?
Gas. I've never used
Gas. Oh, my gosh. You got to check out this Gas Buddy. Maybe we're going to have to hit Gas Buddy up as a sponsor for our show or something.
Fine gas. Oh, this is... Wow. Wow.
This shows you all the super expensive gasoline and diesel. And you can see right here, it's expensive. And you could feel... If you had a fleet of vehicles right now and if you were using diesel... And you need, you know, you're spending $5.50 a gallon to have a little fleet of vehicles. Propane would be half that cost. Can you imagine if somebody showed up to your business today and said, I can cut your fuel expense in half?
And also something else, maintenance costs are lower.
Maintenance, yeah, you can go almost double the miles from a oil change. It's a no-brainer. I really hope that there's somebody out there listening today that's got a fleet of vehicles that's like, I would really love to cut my fleet expense in half. I'm going to contact my local propane provider. I'm going to contact Roush. I'm going to contact Alliance Auto Gas. I'm going to contact somebody that knows how to get my vehicles to run on propane, because it's a great way to save money and be secure. Because what's going on in the East Coast with diesel?
I mean, drivers are just giving up on the East Coast when it comes to diesel.
There's that article that talks about why the Northeast is quietly running out of diesel.
Yeah.
That just came out the other day. This is unbelievable. It says the East Coast sees record low diesel inventories.
Yeah. Diesel shortage fears grow for the East Coast. They're surging. North Carolina drivers are just not driving right now. I'm looking at this story. I mean, everyone's paying more at the pump, but it's not just gas prices that are causing them concern. And throughout the Carolinas, it's a shortage of diesel fuel that has potential to greatly impact the cost of everything from groceries to building supplies and any other products, because we're not focusing on propane.
Well, typically they have 62 million barrels of diesel in the month of May, and they're down to 52. So that's like 20% less diesel available on the East Coast this May than their normal May. That's scary. And if I was running a fleet of vehicles, I would be maybe looking for some type of alternative energy source. And I don't know if I'd go with electric. I mean, these stories, we don't make these things up.
It takes 10 seconds worth of research to see what we're talking about here. It really does.
And it doesn't matter if you're in Texas or California or all the way up into Maine. There's electric grid problems all over the place.
Oh, yeah. And folks, we are the State of Energy. Again, that's Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name is Rand DeWitt. You can find out more about us because we're great people.
We're pretty
cool.
Or
more importantly, if you want to find out more about how propane can improve your life, you can go to thestateofenergy.com. Tom, we've got our old shows on there. We've got rebate information for people that want to investigate how propane can improve their lives.
Yeah, we got, let's see, what's our, where are we at? Where are we at on all of our people that listen to us? We're going to update this. 53 countries, 1,036 cities.
We got over, I mean, wasn't it just last week that you told me we just hit 50?
We hit 50, yeah. I mean, this
50
is...
countries, now we're at 53 countries and over 1,000 cities. Thank you very much to everyone that's joining us on the State of Energy.
On the stateofenergy.com, you're going to find these links to the stuff we're talking about. We're gonna link this National Park Survey, this study from the National Park Service on this bus electrification. We'll have that link up there. We're going to show the Alliance Auto Gas link. We're going to have all the articles, all the stories that we've talked about with the East Coast running low on diesel fuel. And man, you hit it right there when you said that this affects everything. This affects your food, your goods, your electric skateboards. This affects the delivery of absolutely everything and just makes the costs go up even further.
And Tom, we got this one off Fox News. It talks about Texas power grid operator urges residents to conserve energy as plants go offline. The poor people of Texas, they just can't catch a break when it comes to freaking energy.
What is it, man? I mean, it's like, it doesn't matter if it's freezing or if it's hot. They can't get enough gas, natural gas. They can't get enough electricity.
It doesn't make sense. I mean, Texas has always been just such, like, you know, you've kind of always viewed it as a bastion of energy.
Yeah, it's the biggest, it's like the it's oil country, man.
Well, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, who like to call themselves ERCOT, which manages the majority of the state's power grid, said that an incident resulted in the loss of approximately 2,900 megawatts of electricity.
An incident. What do you think that was?
I don't know. Somebody freaking didn't put a freaking 9-volt battery in something and it shut down the grid.
Michael J. Fox popped into town and he needed a couple gigawatts to get out. It doesn't make sense.
They said at this time, all generation resources available are operating. We're asking that Texans to please conserve power when they can by setting their thermostats to 78 degrees or above and avoiding the usage of large appliances such as dishwashers, washers, and dryers. They're asking you to avoid that stuff during peak hours between 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. because it's never hot during those times.
No.
That's from the ERCOT interim CEO, Brad Jones.
I'll tell you what, man. I just looked over at my thermostat and it's May. I've been trying to like not turn the air conditioner on. Just because I don't even know why. Just trying to not have a expensive power bill.
Right.
Yeah. So it was 74 and I'm sweating. And I had to turn my AC on just a couple seconds ago. I can't even imagine them to be like, oh yeah, from 3 to 8, you're going to have to just sweat it off. I mean, that's the time when you're making dinner. So it's hot in your house anyway. I hope these guys got propane powered barbecuers they can cook outside. Yeah. Seriously, like that's the worst time. And the power grid just keeps getting hammered and hammered and hammered. We're trying to stop using coal. We're trying to stop using all sorts of things to make electricity, but we keep trying to add more and more and more things to the grid.
Well, you know, at least Michael Bloomberg is trying to help people out.
Oh my gosh,
that is sarcasm, folks. Yeah.
Let's shut off all. Let's end all coal-fired power plants and see what happens.
That's what he. Essentially, it's a quarter of a $1 billion investment plan in clean energy that Michael Bloomberg is putting together. Basically Michael Bloomberg. He ran for president, former mayor of New York City, and he's promoting clean energy in 10 developing countries. The investment is in part of Mr. Bloomberg's push to shut down coal production in 25 countries and builds on his $500 million campaign to close every coal-fired power plant in the United States. What are we going to do? Everybody wants to jump to the next move without figuring out which lily pad we're going to, you know, is going to keep us afloat. This is insane.
Well, we're not going to have any air conditioning and we're not going to have any electric skateboards anymore. No more one wheels.
You know who's going to have AC? Michael Bloomberg. He's going to have AC.
I guarantee you, if Michael Bloomberg was in Texas, his AC would be way lower than 78 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see him following that. That plan. But this is, I mean, people just don't understand. You like electricity, you like electric cars, you want to be, you know, completely all electric vehicles on the freeway by 2035. But you know what? We'll work on the grid later. And we'll shut down all this coal. Let's cut off all the coal so there can't be any electricity.
Did you see the Kennecott Copper is going to start mining for a super rare critical element for some solar panels? Maybe this will, you know, this switch from we're not going to have any more coal for the electric grid, but instead of mining for coal, we're going to have to mine what is this called? Tellurium?
Tellurium. Tellurium. And, okay. You know, I'm sure someone's going to email us going, you said it wrong. But I mean, people, let's reset what we're talking about right here when it comes to Kennecott, where it is. People, you know, in the Salt Lake area know this, but
yeah. Oh yeah. 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 I forget that we're listened to in 52 countries and 53 countries, 1,000 cities. So,
wait, hold on. 54. The Vatican actually just joined us. We're now at 54. Go ahead, man. Sorry.
This Kennecott mine, it's a big mine and it's not even owned by a U.S. company anymore. It's owned by Rio Tinto. The Rio Tinto Kennecott Copper. This thing is like in Salt Lake City. It's like almost downtown. Salt Lake has grown so big, but it's on the, if you're sitting in downtown Salt Lake and you look west, you're going to see like that whole other mountain range. That whole entire mountain range over there on the west side is this whole entire mine. And it is like the largest mine in the world. And it's an open pit mine. It's a massive, massive, massive hole in the ground. It is, in fact, it's so big that it's one of the 10 things that you can see from space.
11, one of the 11 incredible sites on Earth that can be seen from space. And I believe it's number 10.
It's number 10. It is.
We're talking about the pyramids of Giza, the Grand Canyon, the Himalayas, the Great Barrier Reef, the stack of chips that Tom had when we left Reno. I mean, these are all things you can see from space.
It is a massive open pit mine, and it's so big. And I can only imagine the amount of diesel that they use in these. You've seen these giant mining trucks.
Yeah.
The tires are the size of Ford trucks. Like they're huge, and they've got to just consume an enormous amount of electricity and fuel to get this stuff out of the ground. And this mineral that they're trying to get is like super rare.
It is. I mean, it's a byproduct of digging for copper is basically what we're talking about here. And why are we going for something that's 8 times as rare as gold as a solution?
It blows me away that we have to have this super rare mineral to make these solar panels that produce a little tiny bit of electricity. And I guarantee you, if you did like this, the sticker that we're talking about, you know?
Yes, we're going to call it the true emission score, the TESS.
There you go. I like it. If you put that on your solar panel, people would be amazed at what it took just to make that solar panel and what the true emissions of your zero emissions solar panel actually created.
Well, your governor there in Utah, Spencer Cox, is a fan of this, by the way. He was on hand at the Kennecott Refinery to usher in what he describes as a very important step in helping the United States and Utah supply our own critical mineral needs.
Well, maybe Cox can come down to Zion's with us and we'll do a little bus tour in a propane-powered bus and electric bus, and we'll let him breathe the emissions from the electric bus and breathe the emissions of the propane bus.
So should he be on the electric bus while he's sitting there charging while you and I are riding around the park in the propane bus?
Yeah, we'll just start pumping the electric emissions into the buses and see how people like it. I don't know, man. I don't know what the answer is, but we've just doing this show and talking to people about it and letting just making people be aware of what's going on and how people are spending your money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing we can do at this point is just try to make people aware of what's going on around them.
It just doesn't make sense. I mean, when you just boil it down and how passionate people are about what we're doing for the environment, how we need to protect the planet right now, how we need more affordable, clean energy. I don't know. We're just kind of sitting here waving these little lights in the air going, hey, propane's here. You know, we're affordable, we're abundant, we're clean. Just saying, folks, you want to work together?
We've got a ton of propane. We've got twice as much available than what we consume. It's clean and it's affordable and it's here right now.
And folks, you can find out more by going to thestateofenergy.com. Once again, that is the State of Energy. Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association, and your huge swollen ankle. I hope you're going to be feeling better soon, because I want video of you on this skateboard.
The one wheel.
The one wheel. The one wheel. The one way. Folks, again, if you have any questions about how propane can improve your life, it's real easy. Just go to thestateofenergy.com. You can hear all of our past shows where we were kind of talking about this stuff 3 years ago and it kind of came to fruition. So, hey, just for fun, give a listen to what we're doing now and then check in again in a couple of years and, well, we'll be right again. You think, Tom? Is that a good way to do this?
Absolutely. I mean, you can go back through and listen to any of our 99 past episodes. And you'll see, I mean, the stuff we were talking about 2 years ago, it's stuff that's going on right now. Like
are you saying our next recording, our next podcast is number 100?
This is 100.
This is 100?
This is 100 right here.
Why don't we have champagne and tequila and vapes and stuff like that here? We should be celebrating.
We are celebrating.
We are. Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you very much for joining us. We are always online at thestateofenergy.com.